couldn't think of a better place to come back to. People have been incredibly generous with their hospitality, and we love it here.
There were several shots of you last night at the opening of the stadium, sitting next to John Madden, and you have gotten to do what so few people have ever gotten to do, sit next to John Madden.
Right.
What was he doing, a running commentary of the game?
He was kindly advising me about some of the subtleties of the game. Seriously, it was. He is obviously a significant football person who understands the nuance of the game better than anybody. And it was a fascinating experience to sit in this fabulous stadium watching a pro football game with John Madden providing insights.
Does he say like things like, boom, in his commentary?
No, but he says things like, it looks like the team is getting tired here at the end of the first half. And I said, well, how could you tell? He said, well, watch how this person moves off this block. And it was really interesting. He's also a very good guy and a very interesting man.
What is the biggest adjustment to you and Laura becoming Citizen and Mrs. Bush again?
Well, I got more time on my hands than I used to. My days used to be very scheduled. And so, just from a daily perspective, I've got a lot of flexibility. But the major difference is that a sense of responsibility that was ever present during the presidency no longer weighs on me.
How heavy could that weight become some days?
Well, anytime you're at war or you've made a decision to put our young men and women at risk, that responsibility is a daily responsibility. And there were some tough moments during the presidency when, we were losing soldiers. And, I took those losses personally. And I was very aware of what was taking place in the battlefield and was very aware that, you know, a mother or a dad or a brother or sister had lost a loved one. And and I was, I took my responsibilities the way you'd want the commander-in-chief to do so.
The presidency of the United States carries with it an enormous burden. But there are also some pretty nice perks to being president.
Yeah.
What's the one you miss the most?
Well, no traffic jams. That was a good
point. That's true.
Yes, it is true, Norman.
That's true. In 8 years, how many red lights did you stop for, Mr. President?
Well, we stopped for one, and that was the day that Condi Rice and I got in the back of a Secret Service vehicle and snuck out of our ranch at Crawford to drive to the airport outside of Waco to fly to Baghdad. And we went obviously an unmarked vehicle without a lot of entourage in order to make sure that the trip was secretive as possible.
So you stopped at the one stoplight in Crawford?
Well, it's a blinking light in Crawford. We did, and but we actually found a traffic jam on I-35. It happened to be Thanksgiving weekend, and it was one of the most unusual experiences in the presidency, by the way.
Does the presence of Secret Service men with you still continue to remind you of your place in the world?
Well, first of all, the presence of the Secret Service is a blessing. These are fine men and women. They are people who are, if you think about it, willing to jump in front of a bullet to save somebody's life. There's no higher calling than that in many ways. And, look, my place in the world is out of the spotlight. It's kind of ironic in that I'm now jumping in the spotlight with you. But nevertheless, I am going to meld back into society and try to contribute to the community here in Dallas-Fort Worth. I'll write a book. I'm going to set up a great facility at SMU to talk about certain values. And today, Laura and I are involved with what's called Slant 45, which is a program to make sure that the Super Bowl is more than just a football event. It becomes a community service event, and we're very excited about being involved with it.
What would you like the focus of your next years and decades to be?
Well, the focus is going to be to promote certain values and certain principles that'll translate into policy, such as, I'm a big freedom guy. I believe freedom yields peace. And I believe there's an almighty, and a gift of that almighty to every man, woman, and child is freedom. And it's important to remind people that freedom is universal and that people long to be free. And so this institute at SMU is going to be to promote freedom from ignorance, freedom from disease, and freedom from tyranny. And we'll have a lot of great initiatives out of there, and this will be the platform for which Laura and I will be able to use our position to advance certain noble causes.
This is George W. Bush, the 43rd President of the United States, with us here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Most presidents have chosen to do memoirs of some kind.
Right.
You have chosen to do yours in a bit of an unusual manner.
Yes.
12 decisions you made.
Uh-huh.
Expand on the book you're writing.
Well, it's it's a decision. It's the decisions that I had to deal with when I was president. And the first decision is why I run for president in the first place.
So, did you have a good answer to that, sir?
Well, that's. I hope you buy the book and you can make that determination.
All right.
But I'm not in a selling mode yet because we hadn't finished it yet. But a year from now, I will be out asking people to take a look at this book and be able to look at history from my perspective. You know, I had to make a lot of tough calls as president, and I want to put people in my position so that they could get a sense of the environment and a sense of the discussion that went on in the White House, a sense of different people's opinions, and how one comes to making decisions in a complex environment.
Is the fact that the president must make enormous, life-affecting decisions, and that only he understands the gravity of those decisions, is that realization why you promised President Obama you would not be a vocal speaker about what's happening in his presidency?
No, the reason I promised him that I would not be a critic is because I didn't like it when other former presidents criticized me. And I'm a do-unto-others person, and I believe he needs a chance to make the decisions that he thinks are necessary, and he's going to find there's plenty of opinion out there, just like I did. And so, and secondly, I'm happy to be out of the limelight. I truly am. I never, I liked it all right when I was a baseball owner. You got to sell tickets, or I liked it when I was running for office or serving in office. But I'm through with that phase in my life, and I'm happy to be as best as I can, active citizen of the Metroplex.
The Rangers are now currently for sale. You once owned a piece of the club. Would you be interested in being part of an ownership group again?
No.
Have you been asked?
I'm really not interested. I love the baseball team. I followed him when I was president. I think Tom Hicks has been a good steward of the club after he bought it from us, but I'm not interested in getting back into baseball. One reason why is my checking account's a little empty.
It appears Mr. Hicks' checking account maybe a bit empty these days, too.
He's been a good owner, and they've got a good nucleus. And I'm excited for their, for the club's future. They had a tough go here in this homestand, but
yeah. They
got some good young pitching. And, we had some pretty good young pitching for a while with us, you might remember,
mm-hmm.
with Brown and Rogers combined with Huff and Ryan. But the nucleus, it looks like to me, is a little stronger with this young group of pitching.
Mm-hmm. President Bush, would you be interested in being Commissioner of Baseball?
No, I'm interested in being active citizen, trying to do my part. And like this, what we're going to do today, the people in Metroplex have got to know there's a group of citizens who really want to make sure the Super Bowl is more than just an economic event.
Mm-hmm.
They want the Super Bowl to have a lasting legacy. And today, Roger Staubach and I and Daryl Johnson and other people who really want to use the platform of the Super Bowl 45 to make it relevant for the future are going to announce a program that will encourage 15,000 students to give 45,000 hours of community service in 100 communities in the Metroplex, all aiming to enrich the students and leave behind a legacy of Super Bowl 45. And Roger and Troy Aikman came and pitched this idea to Laura and me, along with Bill Lively, and Laura and I are very excited. One, that our friends are thinking beyond just a game, and two, that children will end up with the legacy of service as a part of their future because of the Super Bowl.
We would assume that 9/11 was the worst day of your presidency. Is there another day that we don't know about that was a dark day for you?
Well, first of all, you've got to understand that some days were good, some days weren't so good. Every day was a joyous experience in serving our country.
Mm-hmm.
obviously, when we lost a soldier, it was a dark moment. I believe so strongly, though, in a certain set of principles, and that my job was to solve problems, that even though the moment may be dark, I always could see light. And one of the lessons I've learned, and I hope I convey to others, is that if you try to chase popularity and are guided by a Gallup poll, then you get lost. If you make decisions based upon certain truths and a foundation of principle, that inspires, in my case at least, optimism that the future would be bright. And so, yeah, there were some tough moments, obviously, and but the president doesn't have the luxury of whining or wringing hands. The president must lead, and lead with conviction and principle, and that's what I tried to do. I fully understand a lot of people didn't agree with some of the decisions I made. But one thing is for certain, they've got to at least agree that I was willing to make tough decisions.
Was there a best day of your presidency? Was there a day that you remember of particular joy?
Well, every day was joyful in some way or another, Norm. There's a lot of great moments. I would say that the second inaugural was a great moment for me because I had taken 4 years of my presidency and laid it out for the American people and said I'd like to have four more years based upon, now you know me and you've seen me make decisions. I'd like four more years and here's what I want to do, and the people decided to let me stay up there. And so giving that inaugural speech was a great moment. But there was a lot of great moments. You know, the most nerve-wracking moment you'll be interested in hearing, by far the most nerve-wracking moment, was standing on the mound in Yankee Stadium, the October World Series. And I had agreed to go out and throw the pitch. I was thankful that George Steinbrenner gave me the opportunity to do so. And I was warming up underneath the stadium there, and Derek Jeter came in and introduced himself. And he said, "Say, you're going to throw from the mound." And, you know, a person like me has the option of throwing in front of the mound or on the mound. Mm-hmm. So, what do you think, Derek? He said, "Well, I'd throw from the mound." And I said, "You know, I'm going to." And just as he left the batting cage, he turned around and said, "But don't bounce it, they'll boo you." So, I go walking out of the dugout, and I'm thinking, "Don't bounce it, they'll boo you," in front of, I don't know, 70,000 or whatever's there at old Yankee Stadium, and the place is electric. And I got on the mound, and Todd Green, I think, was the catcher. Uh-huh. And he looked really small.
All way down there.
Yeah, I mean, 60 feet 6 inches looked like 60 yards. And I was fairly loose, and I had a bulletproof vest on, which is no excuse for anybody bouncing a ball. And but the adrenaline was coursing through my veins to the point where the baseball felt like a shot put. Anyway, I wound up, got it across the plate, and it was just a fantastic moment. It was a moment of relief, and then a moment of high energy as the crowd, was rallying around the great American spirit after the attacks of September the 11th.
A couple of last questions for you, if I could. You had hundreds, thousands of decisions sometimes to make in a week or two. Is there anyone you'd like to go back to and revisit?
I'm sure, you know, first of all, there's no instant replays.
No, as president gets no do-overs,
no
does
do-overs.
He?
No do-overs. You know, I mean, I've thought a lot about that, and I would say, you know, I probably should have reversed the order of Social Security and immigration reform. I came out of the 2004 elections having campaigned that we need to reform Social Security. The Congress wasn't interested in taking that on. And in retrospect, if I had to run immigration reform, which I think we need to do in order to treat people with dignity and make sure the system is working, I probably should have run immigration before Social Security. Obviously, there's a lot of small things we should have done differently, like, you know, the mission accomplished sign on the aircraft carrier, which is completely misinterpreted, nevertheless sent out a terrible signal. You know, flying by Katrina in the airplane. I mean, there's a lot of mm-hmm. incidents that you wish you could do over. But in terms of the big picture, you know, the liberation of Afghanistan or Iraq, the decisions necessary to protect the homeland, those were the right decisions as far as I'm concerned.
Finally, do you recall in the early 90s us appearing on a show together and you turkey bowling?
I do. That was a humiliating moment for me. And fortunately, during the courses of our campaign, the courses of my campaigns, you kept that tape very secret, because I think people thought you and I were quite odd to
yes.
be bowling frozen turkeys.
It did pop up during your presidency.
Oh, it did.
Yeah. It popped up on Jay Leno and other places.
Well, thank you for putting out the tape.
Well, somebody put it on YouTube, Mr. President. It's now past 2 million hits.
Oh, really? Well, that's the kind of fame that I'm not looking for. Maybe you are, however.
I am not looking forward to it. But if you want to secretly go turkey bowling again sometime, let me know.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Mr. President,
good to be with you,
Norm. It is a joy to be with you again, sir. Welcome home.
Thank you, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. That is George W. Bush with us here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Thank you, sir.